Hi, welcome to part 6 of Beginning Meditation. In this episode, you'll hear the second part of my interview with Ron Clark. So if you haven't already listened to part 5, the first part of the interview, it's probably a good idea to do that before listening to this episode. If you want to find out more about Ron and the work that he does, you can visit his website, which is www.abaddoncompanion.com. If you want to contact me, you can do that also via my website, which is www.freewebs.com/IHVH. Before we hear the second part of the interview, I'd like to read to you a quote about meditation, a quote by Rudolf Steiner. He said, "When we raise ourselves through meditation to what unites us with the Spirit, we quicken something within us that is eternal and unlimited by birth and death. Once we have experienced this eternal part in us, we can no longer doubt its existence. Meditation is thus the way to knowing and beholding the eternal, indestructible, essential center of our being." So here's the second part of that interview with Ron Clark. I hope you enjoy it.
Eventually you get to this point where, I can focus over here on this detached place. And once you do that, that's the first real benefit of meditation, is being able to sit detached from all that busyness of the mind chatter, the surface mind. That's when you first really begin to shift your identification of self away from that surface mind that we mostly live in to a more accurate definition, more inclusive definition of self.
That can sometimes be experienced or almost like, for the first time, having a real space in which to breathe.
Yes.
You've got that kind of freedom where you've taken that step back from, like you say, the mundane awareness, all the thoughts running through your mind, and it can be quite serene, can't it, to suddenly feel that, like I say, that freedom.
Yes, definitely,
and detached feeling.
And the key there is that it feels free. And that it's really an indication that you have stepped away from the direct involvement in the emotional content of the mind chatter. And it's that emotional content that that attracts you to the mind chatter and involves you with it.
Would you like to speak a little bit more about that, what you mean by the emotional involvement?
Like I said, the mind chatter is this intersection of the unconsciousness of the body itself and the subconsciousness, the habitual, learned, emotional responses to our sensory perceptions, whether it's what we're perceiving of the unconscious mind's activity, or from our day's activities, or things we have yet to do. These are all really sensory inputs into the subconscious mind. And the subconscious is really our emotional responses. We call it subconscious because for most of us, in general, our emotional reactions to things are very unintentional. They're learned, they're habitual, they're automatic, they're not intentional, really. With meditation, another benefit of meditation is that through that process of distancing ourselves, detaching ourselves from the involvement in First, just the emotions wrapped up in the mind chatter, we come to this place where we realize that, oh, our emotions can be intentional. We can intentionally do this instead of this habitual emotional response. And that really is one of the points of meditation, is to get us into that place of using our emotions to express our deeper self instead of letting our emotions run how we express our deeper self.
Right. So after you've been meditating for a while, you might start to notice in you just day-to-day activities that you can start to become aware of, like you say, emotional reactions to emotional triggers, maybe things that somebody says this particular thing and you feel a certain reaction.
Right, suddenly you're getting angry or right.
Yeah. And right. Just becoming aware of that can be the first step, and then maybe later you can start to change it.
Yes, and part of that process, or what empowers that awareness of the emotions as they are arising, as opposed to a day later, oh man, I acted like a real jerk, but to be present in the moment as emotions are rising is really a function of meditation, because when you turn your awareness inside, there is only this very present moment, and especially the intentional part of your consciousness is perceiving this present moment. If that intentional part is involved in the mind chatter, then it's perceiving the emotions that are present in this moment, in that mind chatter. But once you step back from those emotions, the present is very different. And you can really see emotions as they arise, what's causing that arisal, all of those aspects of what's going on inside of your mind, inside of your awareness.
And that's quite an important thing in terms of bettering your life, I suppose, that one key thing can
make
such a difference.
It's really the initial, you have to do that really before you start improving your life. Because that really is the key pin, the crux of most of the dissatisfaction we experience in life, is our habitual emotional reactions to things, versus what we really deep in ourself and our awareness understand about the things that happen in our life.
Well, I've got another question for you that goes back to basics, really. How long would you advise meditating each day? Or again, do you think that's kind of an individual thing that you should play around with and see what suits you?
Well, it depends really on what you're intending with meditation. If you're in a regimented, structured system like Bardon's system, then there are meditation exercises that you do for he's fairly clear in there about how much time you should devote to them each day. Depending on the exercise, that can be anywhere from just 10 minutes to an hour. For just general, if you're just starting out and exploring it, I would say, just sit down and start and see how long you can do it or how long it holds your interest. And really just go with what feels right. But be regular with it if you can. Again, it just really depends on what you're aiming for. If you're really serious about discovering the inner workings of your mind, of your awareness, and improving yourself, then do it every day. every day that you can, at any rate. And like others have suggested, a usual time and circumstance, and make a habit of it. But one thing about others have been mentioning, you know, making sure that you're not disturbed and this kind of thing, that you really need to create the proper environment for meditation. And right. while that's important in the beginning, because it does make it easier if you're unused to focusing inward, after a certain point, I think it's really very wise to rebel against those preconditions. Because ultimately, as you expand your awareness, you will need really to be able to achieve these states under any circumstances. Yeah. You will need to be able to achieve that distancing from your emotional involvement at a split-second notice, you know, under the most stressful circumstances. So always still relying on, you know, having the perfect setting in order to meditate. It's helpful in the beginning, but at a certain point you just have to let go of that. You
really do. Right. So trying it out when you're waiting for a train in a busy train station might be a good idea. I know I've tried that a few times.
Yeah, I mean, like the human awareness is completely capable of that. It just takes getting used to, you know, understanding your own awareness first, really.
Yeah, but like you said,
and it does help to achieve these states of mind and awareness for the first time in a safe environment. But once you have attained something like this for the first time, it's really less and less of a problem to reattain that state. It becomes a matter of just shifting your awareness into this other state.
So then distractions can become a kind of springboard to help you be able to achieve those states whilst in the midst of those distractions. So it can be helpful, like you say, to not always block them out if you feel that they can be useful, a useful way of being able to achieve those states of mind when you're out and about in everyday life. All right. Well, I know you've had a lot of correspondence with people over the internet regarding principally the people studying the systems laid out by Franz Bodon, like we've been saying. And you must have had a lot of questions about meditation and people starting out meditating. What would you say the most common problems that people come up against to start out with?
Most common problems. I think that the thing that causes most people to just give up is that sense of frustration of I'm just not getting anywhere. And usually the reason they're not getting anywhere is because of that sense of frustration. It's sort of a catch-22 kind of thing. And this requires patience with yourself, but at the same time, demanding that you persevere and push forward. Always push forward. Don't be satisfied with just being stuck somewhere. A lot of the frustration, I think, comes from folks seeing things that they don't want to admit are actually a part of themselves. And they sort of treat it as an enemy. Like a lot of people will treat the mind chatter as an enemy, as something that needs to be commanded and destroyed and all that kind of stuff. And that's, I mean, you'll never succeed in either of those things. And it does no good to deny something that is a part of yourself. The only way through it is to acknowledge it and accept it and work with it and use it. The mind chatter can be used as a tool. The negative aspects of the personality are all there for very good reasons originally. So treating anything that is a part of yourself as an enemy is self-defeating.
That's interesting. Okay, so you're kind of acknowledging that there's a reason for all of these things, and that maybe they've been useful in the past, and then finding a way to work with it to gain a more positive outcome. But that's when it becomes more complicated, I think, for many people, myself included. It's you've recognized this trait maybe that's unwanted and it's not useful anymore, and you've acknowledged it, and then where do you go from there?
You start doing something else. I mean, it really is that simple, Martin. You just figure out what alternative you want to manifest that more clearly expresses your essential self, and begin doing that instead of this negative, what you've identified as a negative trait. So you have, through your meditation, brought your awareness to the point where you can recognize this negative trait arising as it arises. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So as it arises, stop. Acknowledge, again, acknowledge that it is arising, that you are beginning to, respond in this way. Accept that that is happening, that that's okay, and then shift your awareness to doing something different. The key is to choose ahead of time, what it is different that you want to do in that circumstance instead of this negative trait. And so it's already there in your awareness, it's already there in your awareness, this alternative action, this alternative expression. So when this negative trait arises, stop, acknowledge, accept, and then do something different.
Okay, so you're already prepared.
It's so simple.
That's great.
It's just doing it over and over again. It's just like, detaching from the mind chatter. It's exactly the same.
So you're almost establishing another habit to replace the old one.
You are. You're not almost. Mm-hmm. You are establishing another habit. And this is where what you're doing is those emotional habits that make up the character that we call subconscious because they are unintentional, you are making them instead intentional. So in that sense, they are no longer subconscious astral content. They are conscious astral content. That is self-transformation. That is initiation. That is, there you go.
That is very useful.
Good.
Was there anything else in particular that you wanted to say that you'd thought about previously, or...
Let me look through my notes again here. They're in my scribbles. Sometimes even I can't read that.
I always say I should have been a doctor because my handwriting.
When I was a kid, I gave up trying to write anything in cursive. I had to start printing everything.
Yeah.
Because my cursive was just totally ridiculous. Something. Several people have mentioned the position to meditate in, and falling asleep being a disadvantage of lying down to meditate, and falling asleep has very little to do with your physical position. Unless you're just completely exhausted, in which case you should not be meditating. You should be sleeping or resting in some other way. But the primary reason why you fall asleep when you're meditating is an emotional response to doing the work of meditation, an emotional reluctance. If you address the emotional reluctance in there, you will never fall asleep. Attention, when we're excited about something, when we're truly interested at an emotional level in doing something, we're not going to fall asleep. But if we have this emotional reluctance to doing something, we'll lose interest in it very quickly. And if you're meditating, you have your eyes closed, you're physically relaxed, then you will fall asleep.
Yeah, I think that's a biggie, isn't it? That's one that lots of people come up against. And like you say, it's more an emotional thing. Like you've sat down and a part of you is committed to doing that, but then there's a part of your mind that's kind of pulling away and wants to do something else, is getting bored.
Exactly.
And you can experience that emotional lethargy almost.
Exactly.
But you can use that, use the positive side of the emotional states and kind of key into another emotion and become excited about the whole process.
Yes, you can. But I think the better thing to do is to take a close look at the emotion behind the reluctance or the lethargy.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's really the better thing. Because then you're addressing the core issue, which is really, at least that's the hermetic approach, is address the core issue head on. Yeah.
Cool. Right, well, it seems like a good point to leave it here, because we've...
Yeah, it's going to be way too big a file for anybody to download.
It could be a two-parter.
There you go.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. Lots of useful information. Cool. It's been a real pleasure for me too. And I want to say that I really have enjoyed your series and your website. And the thing I appreciate the most is that you are doing this. Most people just have some really great ideas and don't do, and it's important to do.
Yeah.
So,
that's great. Thank you very much. On that note,
thank you.
Thank you.